Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Rashida De Jesus, and I am joined with my co-host and brother in the martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. How you doing, Sifu Bob?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing really well today. In a relatively
awesome.
Good mood. My family went camping, so I was alone all last night and all today. Not that I don't love my family.
Cool.
But sometimes it's good to just have some chill time. And they're not here to hear me say that, so I don't have any dagged looks right now. oh, man. Yeah, if they're here, that would have been that. You big dummy. Yeah.
I put that down at the bottom of the cue list. Oh, wait, here it is.
You big dummy.
Yeah.
And I do want everybody to know she downloaded that big dummy soundbite just for me.
I love you, mean it.
I know.
All right.
I do have one announcement today before we start.
Okay. All right.
The final schedule for the Masters Hall of Fame seminars came out this week, and there was one change, unfortunately. Silky Greg Woldridge can't make it out this year due to work. So the schedule is going to be as follows. Professor Dennis Gilia is going to be teaching the fighting art of eight limbs from 12 to 2 on Friday. From 2 to 4 on Friday, it's going to be Sensei David Dye teaching the Hawaiian art of bone breaking lua. Then it's going to be Sensei Joe Ordaz from 4 to 5. And he's going to be doing intro to motion picture fight choreography. And then Saturday, I'm going to be teaching a seminar on Kang Xuan Du push-pull concepts from 7:30 to 8:30. And then you're going to be teaching a seminar from 8:30 to 9:30, Tai Chi Flow 10 form. Then Mark Shuey comes in from 9:30 to 10:30, going to be teaching Kane from the American Kane System. Then from 10:30 to 11:30, Mike's Grandmaster Mike Sandoz is going to be teaching combative kung fu 12 to 1. And here's where the replacement took place. Is going to be Sensei Scott Jacoby teaching Kang Xuan Do body domination. Then from 1 to 3, it's going to be Mrs. Barbara White. She's going to be teaching a woman's self-defense course for 2 hours. And then from 3 to 4, Sensei Michael Rivera is going to come in and teach a clinic on Lima Lama for an hour. So we've got some really good stuff happening. And if anybody still needs tickets or wanted to come down, the seminars alone are worth the dinner ticket. Everything's inclusive. All the seminars with the dinner ticket. Go to mastershalloffame.org and you can purchase some up until the week of the event.
Very cool. That sounds like a very full, awesome schedule. That's gonna be cool.
And round it out. I mean, we've got Chinese, Japanese arts, Thai arts. It's gonna be a great weekend.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I am. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, everyone, and you're interested in attending the Masters Hall of Fame, tickets are still available. Like Sifu Bob just mentioned, mastershalloffame.org. Get them there. And don't wait till the last minute.
It's very interesting that you and I have never done before. Since you're coming down, you're spending a couple of days with me, then we're going to the event. We're going to be doing the show together at the same time, in the same place.
Yeah, in the same place.
Not 1,000 miles away like we usually do it.
I know, right? I'm really excited about our live broadcasts. We'll be doing live interviews, hopefully, with the seminar instructors and some of the inductees that are slated to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Hopefully, some interviews with some of the ambassadors It'll be great. It'll be really cool.
Actually, what I was talking about was our actual Sunday show the next day after the Masters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll actually be doing the show right afterwards. Actually, sitting in the same room. That'll be cool, too. And, yeah, we need to figure out the microphone thing, but I think we might have figured it out. Yes, and I'm also thinking, though, on the day of the seminars, of trying to pull a live video feed on, I want to say SoundCloud. It's not SoundCloud. It's some other service that's online that I have an account with, and I don't remember what it is. So
nice.
I'm gonna try to pull a live video feed for some of the interviews that we do, and we'll see how that works.
Sort of like that thing you and I did that one time on Google.
Oh, yeah, the Hangouts, yeah, sort of like that,
yeah.
But I'm just yeah. So I don't know how it's gonna work though, because you know I don't know if I'm gonna have to pull two computers to do it. And I don't want to pull two computers to do it. I might just have to tape my phone. I might have to just tape my phone to the laptop, you know, and just go all, you know, just go all primitive that way. I don't know. We'll find out.
Everybody's listening. We're very low tech.
We are. We're still on Blog Talk Radio. You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there that are in HD, live video podcast, and I'm like, I don't have that kind of equipment. I saw this setup that one guy had for a podcast, and there was a camera that was pointing down at a desk, and there was this guy sitting there, and the guy, I kid you not, has like 8 screens, and they're all just monitors. He's got one laptop, but he's got monitors that are like that are nailed to the wall and up on stands and stuff. And he's keeping track of all this stuff and a mixing board and a panning camera. And I'm like, no.
God, compared to him, we're doing our show with smoke signals.
Yeah, smoke signals and tin cans and string. That's cool.
Right.
That's where we're at. Oh, my goodness. But people still listen to Blog Talk Radio, so we're good to go. All right. Well, we have a wonderful show ahead of us today. We've got 3 wonderful guests that are slated to be inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame. And I'd like to introduce our first guest. Our first guest is the head instructor of Kung Fu Atlanta. It is our pleasure to welcome Sifu Ramilio Olivieri. Welcome, Sifu. How are you?
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
To have you
for
on the show.
Me.
Awesome.
Congratulations on the free time away from the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of rare, though, isn't it, Bob? You know, to just chill and, you know, have the house to yourself. You know, a long time.
Now I've got to be quiet because I just got home.
Oh, that never happened to me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Brandon just walked out.
I have to lock people in the room, so yeah.
Well, what are the odds of that happening, man?
Not very good.
Well, that sucks.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, Sifu Olivieri, what we normally like to do with our guests is to have the listeners get a background on our guests. So would it be possible for you to tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what got you started in the martial arts?
Well, I started when I was 4. You can hear me?
Wow, yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I started when I was 4. I was a sick kid. I had asthma really bad. So my mother had a lot of friends in Chinatown in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I wound up training there for 3 years. And then, you know, everybody knows martial arts is things, right? So everybody studied it this person and they say
Sifu, I think your phone connection keeps cutting in and out. Are you?
How about now?
That's good. That's good.
That's better.
That's a lot better.
So, it wasn't until I was about 11, I was at a tournament, neighborhood local tournament, and I met two students of Zungzhi, George Creighton Jr. of New York, of Lung Hoop Hai, and been with him ever since. So I have about 40-plus years so far.
Wow.
Now, so I'm trying to make 50 to 20, so...
That's very cool. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the training? Because I mean, traditional kung fu. That's like, well, back then, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, that's what me and Bob would consider old school.
Well, yeah, that's what we are called, old school.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the training, about how it was and.
Our training is a lot harder than the average here, and I have to be very specific with parents, you know. There's
right.
going to be bumps. There's going to be bruises. Mm-hmm. I particularly do not like to use equipment because we didn't back then, but my only real competition is Xbox and PlayStation, you know. When we were coming up, and you guys know, I mean, we trained all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. I got up Saturdays, cleaned my room, did my chores. Once my mother gave the go-ahead, we were out in the park training.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was somewhere to train. Nowadays, it's not the same. So my main thing is foundation. A lot of people don't give good foundations in these new school era.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're the new school era. So a horse stance is a horse stance. You have to be able to sit in it, and you have to be able to move from it. So pretty basic.
Very cool. Very cool. That's how it was for me too. Equipment was more like what's that?
Yeah.
You know, what about you, Bob? You know, I mean, equipment was considered optional, and back then it wasn't.
We're sugarcoating it now. It wasn't invented yet.
I remember we had makeshift type stuff. Like one time, I remember I had like cut my knuckle on someone's toenail, and I had to like literally duct tape paper towels to my knuckles, and there was my padding for the day. So I'm walking
wow.
around with duct tape on my hand. I'm like, what's going on?
Wow.
Oh,
it
man.
Because I go to a lot of tournaments. We're pretty much the only kung fu school here in Atlanta that goes to sport karate tournaments and things of that nature. And I look at what they put on, and I'm like, oh, my God. They didn't even invent this stuff when I was coming up.
Right.
They give you more equipment than they give you to go to war. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting to watch changes over each decade as it comes and as it goes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Because back then, you know, we were able to train control. Because we had no equipment. And if we did get a black eye or a split lip or something like that, it was usually because of one of two things. Either A, we didn't block it, we need to practice it more, or B, it was an accident. but for the most part, we always trained to control. Nowadays...
parentheses, so-called accident.
so-called accident. That's right. But nowadays, you've got, I remember the last pair of protective equipment I had, it was called like the silver bullet or something. And there was literally 4 inches of foam between me and my knuckles. And
wow.
It completely messed up my targeting because I was used to having my knuckles closer to be able to score a point. And I ended up just really slamming some lady in the head, and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to do that. And with the padding, I think that it gives a lot of competitors a false sense of security, or they just hit harder. to make points known in sparring matches. And but I'm a proponent for no gear. And I'm probably gonna get a lot of hate mail because of that, but we'll find out.
Oh, see, so if I haven't gotten hate mail from some of the things I've said, you're fine.
Okay.
Well, as long as they're talking about you, you're doing something right.
Okay.
Absolutely, Shifu. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Now, I am curious about one thing. You said your Kung Fu school fights in the karate tournament. We know that a lot of it is political. How do you fare in the karate world when you go to tournaments? Do you guys do okay?
Okay, here's my hate mail time, okay? Put it this way, I have my daughter is now 13, and she's a brown sash under me, and I think that's too much for her. I don't think she should be a brown sash, but mm-hmm. to fight these tournaments, I had to boost her up, at least in fighting, not in forms, because we have to, in our school, you have to do all three. And we've been competing here in Georgia since 2007, and we've done fairly well. The first 3 years, it was Hades. The cheating, the political, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
We made a lot of enemies. We made a lot of friends, but we made more enemies. And Georgia, the system that they have here, I mean, besides Tony Young and a few other greats, you know, is pretty much shot. You got NBS Karate, you got Tony Young, you got the Ross Brothers. These guys, you know, they've been out here and they've been doing it for a while. So here I come, Joe Kung Fu. I don't fit in, at least not until we were able to prove stuff. But the problem was that a lot of other seafoods or schools, they would come in and I guess they would get cheated once or twice and they would call it quits.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I saw it. My instructor did the same thing because you guys know, like in the 70s and 80s and sometimes even somewhat in the 90s, they were saying Kung
mm-hmm.
Fu people, we couldn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
We were only good for jumping in the air and looking pretty.
Right.
People like my instructor, George Creighton Jr., he set out to say, well, you know what? We can fight and I'm going to prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I the same format out here. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to take my students and we're going to go to these tournaments and we're going to fight and hopefully we're going to win. But to answer your question more directly, we've done fairly well, especially in the last 2 years where people have accepted us and realized politically there's a dollar amount attached to it. People want to see something different, period.
Right.
They don't want to just see the same old ki and yelling and all that stuff. They want to see something
mm-hmm.
different. So there's a dollar value for spectators and things of that nature that are attached to it. But, we've done really well. My daughter, she's the only Kung Fu stylist that's female on an actual national team. So I thought
that was cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Now, did you find that a lot of the politics was basically just style-oriented? Like, you know,
no.
Like you said, Joe Cool coming into a karate territory or?
Well, I was trying to be poetic. I mean, I am in Georgia, okay? So, and I'm not Asian, I'm non-persuasion, so it's like,
mm-hmm. Got
with
it.
That being said, you know. Oh, I'm going to get hate mail.
We hope not.
But, you know, it's good because I'm hoping by, you know, when Eddie Morales nominated me to be in this Hall of Fame, I was so flattered. It just gave me an opportunity to have a voice to maybe get a Kung Fu stylist out there to come and join us. These sports are dying. They're literally dying. Out here, you know, Kung Fu tournaments are non-existent.
Mm.
So where else are you going to compete at? What are you
going
to do? And how do you get other people out there to fight and to compete? I mean, I have students that, even though we're a fighting school, I have people, everybody's not going to be a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So, got to have people that are going to do form, I'm going to have people that are going to do weapons, but in general, we do all three.
Mm-hmm.
And politically, that's a problem too. So,
oh, uh-huh.
I mean, we're not going anywhere. That's the problem. And, you know, rather than fight with everybody and everybody fight with us, they started to embrace us. And we started to embrace them. I had to open my mind from that old school, Johnny Tension, one of the top point fighters in the world, I think, sat me down, and we had to have a long discussion where he just ridiculed me and made me feel so small that I had to open up and realize there's rules to these things. It's not a street fight in Chinatown. It's not a,
mm-hmm.
it's not any, you know, I had to adapt. And then with mm-hmm. me adapting, to teach my children to adapt, I had to teach the kids that I teach to adapt. And that was mm-hmm. the most difficult part for us. You know, the politics are always there. They were there when we were younger. They're going to be there now. So I just mm-hmm. came back and started fighting for 30 years. So I'm fighting again now. And it's an adjustment, to say the least.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, on your bio, I noticed that you briefly resided in my end of town, in Tacoma, Washington. I'm in Seattle. Well, actually, Kent. I'm only like half an hour outside of Tacoma. Small world. And I see that you studied briefly under Shidoshi Frank Dukes.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
In the way of Kung Fu out there, and one day coming from Tequila, I used to be work for a moving company,
mm-hmm.
and I was coming down the side roads, and I saw this big, huge school, and I said, oh, this is Frank Du School. I stayed there for 2.5 years, because Washington State chased me out of there with all that rain.
Oh. I had to look outside and check. No, it's not raining today. Okay.
But it was an interesting experience. It was different because I was always a Kung Fu stylist, always.
Mm-hmm.
And going there and doing something totally different and getting rank in it, it was different.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, you know what, Shifu? I love Frank Dukes. He's a friend. And I inducted him a couple years ago into the Masters Hall of Fame. The same year I inducted Sifu Respita.
Okay.
Great guy. I love Frank to death. You can say whatever you want about Frank, and you know the stories that have gone around about him.
You know what? Yeah, we don't listen to that. Just like
no,
here,
never.
The same
yeah.
as that. It's your lineage, who I train with. I don't care who
yeah.
you train with. What care with if I'm in the alleyway, can we both get out of this together?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Sifu Bob, do you know if Hanshi Dukes is attending this year? Or
you know, I know he's gonna be on Dan's show this week, but you know, he still lives up in Washington and he's traveling an awful lot. I don't think he goes to these that often because he's just so busy with movies and teaching and everything else.
Yeah,
I thought he was in Mexico somewhere. Actually, I haven't really kept that close tabs with him. We talk on Facebook every now and again, but that's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just like a hop, skip, and a jump away, and I haven't yet found the time to go. Pay my respect.
Wow.
Like, right there.
But, you know, his school taught me a lot. It taught me, Creighton, Zhangzhou taught me a lot about fighting in general. Fuzhou, mm-hmm. Chinatown, they taught me a lot about form and weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But the fight aspect between Creighton, Dukes, and another not so well-known person, his name is Abdul Mataka there, between them and Matakabe is also a student of Creighton's as well. So
that's
where my fighting came in. It's not in tournaments. I mean, I grew up fighting with Jerry Fontanez and all these East Coast fighters like Timac and all these guys. But really fighting, especially using Kung Fu, it's a difficult task. That's why I understand now that I'm almost hitting 50 that things is not what they always see. It takes a lifetime to learn certain things, and I'm nowhere near it.
Very cool. Very. Now, when you heard that you were inducted into the Hall of Fame, what was your first thought when you heard that?
Can I say
oh my
that
goodness.
On radio?
Yeah. Well, I did. Depends on the words, but. Holy crap!
Because a lot of these Hall of Fames are so bogus. A lot of them are. And so I was shocked because I heard a lot of people talk about the Masters and this is the one to be inducted into. And they don't, I mean, and you guys know as well as I do, I can pay $200 and get inducted into a Hall of Fame, plain and simple. And this wasn't the case. And when the guy who nominated me was Eddie Morales. This is a great guy. He's helped me out ever since that he found out I was trying to open a school in Georgia. He was there, him and Alex Prieto. They were both there, sent me equipment, gave me information, just helped me out dramatically. And so to find out that he was the one that nominated me, I was like, wow. Then it didn't hit me right away. I was just like, oh, it's just another Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. But then got the call, and I was like, wow. Okay. And that's all I could say on the radio. It was like, wow. I ain't going to tell you how I jumped down and called my daughter to the phone and did all that. We're not going to go there, but it was a very rewarding feeling that I had. It made me feel like everything, he had nominated me because of the work that I do with all the kids and the programs that I have. I'm one of the few martial art programs, period, that has free tutoring, and I'm in touch with all my students, teachers, and things like that. And he felt that I needed a forum to do that. So I was ecstatic. I was not to sound like Mike Tyson, but it was oh, it's funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was shocked. Yeah, I was totally shocked.
So, are you bringing anybody with you this year?
No, I'm going to fly solo. My daughter, she can't do it because I also have a summer program, and this year she's going to be one of the counselors because her birthday is a week before I come there. So she's 14 and she wants to work now, so I let her be a counselor, and she's actually becoming a very good junior teacher as well. She loves working with the kids like her dad, so.
Oh, too bad. Cool. So when are you coming in? Are you coming in on the 21st or the 22nd?
I think I'm coming in, my plane lands on the 20th. Me and Eddie are going to hang out for a minute, and we're going to do all the seminars. And yeah.
Very cool. And, you know, we're having a very special VIP party down in the hotel where it's sort of a meet and greet. We get to meet all the inductees, and Steve Hoover and Steve and I are going to be there because, you know, we're going to do some live interviews while we're there and teach a couple of seminars and be involved. We're really involved this year.
Oh, that's great. That's great. West Coast is so different than East Coast or Midwest or Mars. You know what I'm saying?
Mars.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like there is so, you know, here they kind of uptight. People are just now, after 5 years, starting to loosen up. I mean, New York is, you know, New York is just New York. It has a certain mentality and an attitude, but coming out there to California, it's like, oh my God, where are these people from? So cool.
Now, out of curiosity, what made you relocate to Georgia as opposed to going back to New York?
When I had left New York, I had went to Washington State because my mother moved there, and she was sick, so I decided to go there. But then, by that time, my wife got homesick, and I was like, oh, God, what am I going to do now? So I wasn't going to go back to New York because the prices, everything just jumped right back up, and I had my own trucking company, and it was having it in New York wasn't feasible at that point. So Atlanta seemed to be the ideal place to do it because it's a hop, skip, and a jump for her to get to New York. It was a big trucking industry mecca at that time before the gas prices went up. in the way of kung fu down here, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. I mean, right now you have maybe 8 kung fu schools in the Atlanta area versus the 300 taekwondo that has taken over.
Mm-hmm.
So with us being the only ones that fight or compete, it's like it's so hard. It's so hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness. Now, I found this pretty interesting because I have your biography in front of me. You have a motto, I guess, that translates from Chinese into the system of always learning, and this is what you teach at your school. I'm not even going to begin to butcher the Chinese pronunciation because I can't see the tone marks on there to be able to say it right. But
I probably don't say it right.
I'll give it a shot. Let's see. Xitong Zongshi Zai Sui. So I think that, yeah, that makes sense. The system of always learning. So how does that apply to what you teach at your studio, Sifu?
Well, what happens is I learned to adapt. Unlike a lot of people that we all know and we remain nameless, they invented their own style. They'll take a snake and mix it with praying mantis and do something else with it. No, I don't do that. I've been done too many times, for one. And for two, it's taken away from the old school aspect that I love about kung fu.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it the system of always learning because when I teach snake, I teach snake. When I teach hungar, I teach hungar. But when it comes to fighting, a punch is a punch, a kick is a kick, and there's only but so many ways you can throw it. Anybody can come in. Like, we do a lot of training with Tony Young, who used to be part of Team Budweiser, and his students, actually one of his better students, he's a young guy, 19, has remarkable talent. Is Kevin, they call him K-Swift Walker. You have Rick Murray. You have MBF Karate, Michael Williams. We all train together. And I catch back from that because they say, well, it's not kung fu. It's fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I have with kung fu teachers here is lineage. Oh, well, my lineage is this. My lineage is that. And my question is, but can you fight?
Mm-hmm.
Are you teaching?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in trouble, if me and you are by ourselves, do I have to sit you down? That's pretty much how it works. I adapt, and that's what it's about. Somewhere along the line, someone had to think about a tiger is a lot healthier and stronger than humans are and created a style of it. That's not my forte, and that's not what I do. I will take something. If I see you do a movement and I see that it works and I practice it and it works, I'm going to use it. I'm going to adapt it in my system. And that's basically what it was, and I didn't want to name it. And with my instructor, I was away from him for a while, and between the time I went to Washington and came back, he had adapted some things to his style, which he called one shao.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm old school one shao. The new one style I wasn't a part of, and me going back and forth to New York to learn it was a hassle. It was expensive, and having my own school, it was just too much to do. So I just took what I already knew with the old and kept it, because the old is what I know and the old is what works. I don't care what anybody, I know this is not 10th century China, and we're not walking around with spears and swords, but it works. The philosophy works, the training works, and that's what matters to me. So I didn't give fancy name. I didn't give the school a fancy name. We do Kung Fu. We're in Atlanta. That's what we do.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, before we go to a short break, so that way we can contact our next guest, would there be any words of wisdom, so to speak, or any advice that you can give to all the younger generation out there that are studying martial arts?
Yeah, I would tell them to train. It doesn't matter what martial arts you do, you got to train. You got to get off those PlayStations and Xboxes.
Mm-hmm.
When we came up, I went to class at 5 o'clock. I usually didn't get home to 2 in the morning. All right, mm-hmm. Just twice a week for 35 minutes and not going home and training and all this stuff because of the business of martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing it. You have mm-hmm. to train. You have to dedicate. And most of all, don't fall into that first phase of training where most people quit. That makes Bally's rich. That makes martial arts mm-hmm. schools rich. You find a program, you like it, you join, and then you quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a job and you have no place to stay. You're not going to quit that job.
Exactly.
Because you can't live with me. So,
yeah, exactly. And I like that. Because, you know, I have noticed that too, that, you know, a lot of, like I've had a few people come to my own studio and I'll see on their application that they have previous experience and probably they've only been there 3 months or something, right? And then if I ask them, oh, so you've done, I don't know, you've done karate, let's just say, just pulling that out of the hat for 3 months. Why did you quit? Oh, well, it was boring. What? You know, you're telling me this?
I could do a David Letterman. I could have the top 10 reasons, and the number one answer that I get is I used to do taekwondo. I made it to
yeah.
That's the number one thing I get. People come into me and go, oh, yeah, I used to train before. I used to do taekwondo. I was a green belt. No one's ever made it past green belt that has come. It's crazy. But
yeah, isn't that weird?
Schools is how they gear themselves to keep people in. My thing is I'm a personal trainer. I'm not one of those Bally's. I actually went to college. So it's like, I didn't take a 3-week course, no. So one of the things that people fail to realize is health. You have to be healthy, especially like in my women's self-defense class. A lot of women come to me and say, I want to lose weight. I want to do this. I look like that. And the first thing I ask them, well, are you healthy? What does your doctor say? What is your blood pressure? You have to be healthy first before you can do anything. And if you're a good instructor, that's what you look at. You look at the health first. The last thing I want any of my students to do is to get out there in a fight and they get in, you know, jumped or whatever the case may be and go, hold up.
Yeah.
Right. Now, so, everybody around you is going to go, okay, time out. No, that's not going to work that way. So that's one of the things, that's one of my pet peeves, is people tend not to eat right. They tend to indulge in these white foods. That's the first thing I do when I give a person a diet. I eliminate all white foods.
Mm-hmm.
I don't starve them. They can eat the same thing that they eat, eat smaller portions, walk, do something. The whole idea is to work. You're never, Kung Fu is achieving skill over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it takes. It's going to take a period of time. You're not going to walk in here and then, like other styles that we won't mention, have a black belt in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I started training at 4. I didn't get my first black sash until I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And we 5, 8, 10 hours a day, whatever. Then you went to school and found someone else to beat up on or to train with. And if I couldn't do that training almost every day, these guys, you know, you got to go home and train. And that's what I tell the kids. You got to do everything. If you're going to go to school and you're going to be in school all that time, come here and train like that. It's the way you want to live.
That's wonderful advice. Wonderful advice. So, youngsters, if you're listening, you got to train. You got to train. There's too many of the younger generation getting into the, how should we say, either the get ranked quick or the get good quick type of activities.
I think that's the parents. The parents bring and they want to see little Johnny with his little uniform and a belt.
It's not just
little Johnny. Little Johnny has to be, every student that comes to me has talent. And if they says differently, they're wrong. Everyone has talent. Some people you have to bring it out of. So
yes, sir.
So if it's just there, you got to do something with little Johnny. Little Johnny in our school turns out to be one heck of a competitor. So it's up to the teacher and how much time the teacher wants to spend with that student. My instructor, Zeng Zhe, took me into his home. I would spend the night in his son's room and train on the side of his house. We trained in his attic, one of the little crawl spaces up in the attic.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, that's why I don't run when I fight, because there's nowhere to run. So.
Not in a crawl space.
Yeah, exactly. And you get past
that. So, yeah. Now, how can... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I just tell them, fight. Get out there, train. If they need to come in, you know, our classes are generally 4 days a week. I got kids that come 7 because they want to work. I'm not going to close the school because they, you know, it's not a money maker, in other words.
Awesome. That's so awesome. Now, how can our listeners contact you if they want to visit, if they're ever in the Atlanta area?
They can go to our website, which is kungfuatlanta.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can call us at 678-270-6512.
Awesome. So that's kungfuatlanta.com. Lots of great information and photos on the website. So if any of our listeners are out in the Atlanta, Georgia area, go check them out and go visit Sifu Olivieri and tell them that Dynamic Dojo sent you.
There you go.
Yeah, we, me and Sifu Bob and Dynamic Dojo Radio and Seika Network will fully endorse your school and make sure that if we hear of anyone in that area or anyone that's going to be moving to that area that's interested in Kung Fu to definitely check out your studio. Because it's a wonderful school that teaches the tradition of Chinese martial arts. not that there's anything wrong with modern martial arts, because I like those too, but the traditional schools are becoming fewer and far between with the advent of the modern martial arts. I don't, you know, Bob, would you agree? I mean, I was going to speak for you and say I'm all about old school, but I'm not going to talk for you, Bob.
No, I totally agree.
Right. Awesome.
But I think the problem with that is people confuse things like wushu and kung fu, knowing that they're different, or not knowing that they're different.
Exactly.
They don't understand that wushu didn't come into existence until the 1960s. And like you say, political is a whole political thing to keep the art of, you know, people wanted to see that. They wanted to see beauty. They wanted to see flying in the air. You fly in the air on any real kung fu guy, they're going to sit there and wait on you until you get in strike. It says it's not you, this is not another motherfucker.
Yeah.
So.
That's right.
Some of the great ones are wushu stylists, so you can't knock that either. So I pretty much look at it as like sport karate, and I call it sport kung fu. So it's still real kung fu, but it's just a major difference.
Right. Exactly. Awesome. Well, cool. We're going to have to take a short break. And Sifu, you're more than welcome to stay on the line while we have our next guest, so that way we can all sit around the virtual radio table, so to speak, and get to know each other a little bit. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and mute your mic, and we'll go ahead and take a short PSA break while I contact our next guest. Our next guest is going to be Sifu Charles Shepherd. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Eddie Morales from Kickin' It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to the martial arts event of the year, the Masters Hall of Fame, on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013, at the Orange County Hilton, located in Costa Mesa, California. This year's theme is Women in the Martial Arts. Our guest speaker will be Lisa the Black Widow King. We will be honoring many legends in the martial arts. Join Dan and I from Kickin' It Old School at the Masters Hall of Fame, Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Get your tickets now at mastershalloffame.org.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. So if you're just now tuning in, you've just tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show with Rashida and Robert. We just got done with a great discussion in our first segment with Tifa Remilio Oliveri. We're going to be bringing on our next guest here in a little bit. So if any of you have any questions whatsoever and you want to talk to any of our guests, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. So Sifu, Bob, what do you think so far? Great show, eh?
Oh, great discussion. Really old school practitioner. Having a good time. We're having a great show so far.
Yeah, yeah. And I just now got your message about our Twitter page. Is it down? Is our Twitter page down?
You know, I pressed the link and it found it, but if for some reason all of a sudden I stopped following it. I don't know how, and then when I tried to search it, okay, it's back.
Okay, good.
Because
I was going to freak. I was going to freak there for a second.
I tried to search for it under your name, under Dynamic Dojo, and it wasn't coming up.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
I'll have to check on that. But if you can see it, then I won't freak out then. All right. So again, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We've also got a chat board on the Blog Talk Radio show marquee. So just scroll down a little bit and you'll be able to see a flash chat board. And just type in your questions there if you don't want to call in. But remember, it's always funner to call in. So our next guest is the chief instructor of Ascension Martial Arts. I'd like to welcome Sifu Charles Shepherd to the show. Sifu Charles, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. Great to be on.
Cool. Thanks for joining us. You even get some applause. Let me see if I can find it. There it is.
Yay! Oh, yay.
Woohoo! Awesome. Now, what Sifu Bob and I like to do is we like to get each of our guests' background. So, Sifu Charles, can you take a little bit of time and tell our listeners a little bit about how you got started in the martial arts?
All right. Well, where to start? 40 years compressed into 40 minutes. Here we go.
Yeah.
Originally my parents wanted a classically trained pianist. I don't know what happened, but apparently I found a book, and it was about judo. Started reading it, started studying it, and, of course, in the first grade, I started practicing it with my fellow schoolmates. So my parents, being intellectuals, figured, okay, well, it's a phase. Let's just put them in the martial arts and burn them out. Mm-hmm. And we used to move around a lot, so I've been in many different systems, and every time we moved to a new town, I knew where all the teachers were located, and they just stick me in there, determined to burn me out, and, you know, have their pianist. And it never seemed to take. So I've been, half of what I trained in as a kid, I don't remember. It was primarily Shotokan or Shorinru, which are pretty much related. Mm-hmm. You know, I've trained judo, jujitsu, just whatever I could find they would throw me into. Wasn't until I was about 15 when I was in Shotokan, and my teacher kind of didn't know what to do with me, and, you know, I was pretty much a brawler back in the day. It's like, ooh, fight, fight, fight. So then he set me on a quest, you know. I needed to find the most destructive, dangerous Tai Chi form I could find and bring it back to him. So I started training in Tai Chi, which was, there's nothing destructive about this or dangerous. But I stuck with it. And year after year, looking for more impressive forms, and I come to realize it's not so much the forms, you know, but it was the principles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken roughly 30 years to, you know, really figure Tai Chi out, and now I teach it. So.
Awesome. Now, what style are you teaching of Tai Chi?
I teach primarily Yang, and then I'll go into the Chen for people. When people come to me for Tai Chi, it's like, oh, I've got bad ankles, I've got bad back, bad this, bad that, so the Yang is perfect for that. I had some people ask me about Sun and Wu Tai Chi, and it's like, well, you know, they're really combinations of Pakua and Xingyi, which I also teach, so I really don't delve too much into those. It's hard to keep up with all my material.
Yeah. I think anyone that's been studying for, like, you know, 35 to 40 years finds it hard to keep track of all that. I mean, I have a trouble with that. What about you, Sifu Bob?
Oh, absolutely. It gets tremendous after a while.
Yeah, and Sifu Olivieri, you've got like a bunch of experience too. It must be sometimes like pretty interesting trying to keep all your material together.
Well, I could be known as the man with 1,000 forms, you know.
Oh, awesome!
Well, I'm envious.
It comes in handy if you mess up at a tournament. You just break into another one. That's all that comes in handy.
Yeah, there you go. Fake it till you make it. That's right.
There you go.
That's what that's what my Sifu used to tell me. If you forget, just do something. Awesome.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving.
That's
so,
right.
A little bit more about my history, because I went from Shotokan to Isshinryu.
Okay.
A fabulous art. But it was kind of limited. We had the 8 forms. We had a handful of weapons forms. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff I was missing. And my teacher at the time was like, well, you know, go train with other people. You know, I'm only teaching you this, but there's a lot out there. Back to Shorinru, Goju-ryu, I've trained in Aikido. Under Sensei Paul Keller, I've trained Iaido and a lot of the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And, I spent probably the first 17 years training. Then I spent about 6 years trying to prove myself as, you know, a force in Isshinryu, a force in Shotokan. And, you know, I still had that kind of brawler attitude. So kind of like Musashi, you know, nobody really took me seriously, but then nobody else would fight me. I got a desk job and spent about 5 years training and trained less and less because, you know, how good you are at that time. And one day running up some stairs, it's like I was out of breath. I was like, oh, I can't have this. What the heck? Then I found Shaolin Kung Fu and all the different systems, and that brought me back in and training. And, you know, what I teach now is just a mixture of everything. It's like, okay, I'm going to teach you to fight. I'm going to teach you to be healthy, protect that health, and hopefully develop a little bit of character in the process. And that's where I'm at right now.
Very cool. Now, The name of your studio, Ascension Martial Arts, that's a very cool name. Just so you know, it's very cool. What prompted you to name your studio Ascension Martial Arts?
With all the background we have, it's like I'm not really kung fu, I'm not really karate. It's martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, let's present it in such a way that all this is about ascending up the mountain. You know, you're going to be a better person. You know, we do a lot of conditioning, and you know, I've got people that have come in at the age of 63. You know, they could barely do push-ups, but you know, now they're doing 40 and 50 push-ups.
Very cool.
But just the reason we named it that way, it's that you're going to ascend, be a better person, and have a good time.
Very cool. Awesome. Sifu Bob, to you, do you have any questions?
Sifu, who inducted you into the Masters Hall of Fame this year? Like, I don't know.
Oh, well, that would be Sifu or Sita.
Oh, man. And I remember your reaction, too. I think it was something like, who, me?
I thought you were trying to pull one over on me. I'm like, what? No.
Rosita, that sounds like your reaction when I nominated you 2 years ago.
That's right. That's what I actually emailed Sifu Bob back, and I went, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but is this a joke? And I think you just went, who, me? And yes, you, because for people that don't know, Sifu Charles has a Facebook page, and I follow his Facebook page, and he posts all sorts of great stuff about martial arts, humor. It's a wonderful balance, and it is what martial arts is all about. You have to be balanced, because I've met a lot of people that are all about the fighting and the fighting only, and I've met a lot of people that are just about the art and the art only. It's very rare that I meet anyone that has that balance between the two, the appreciation between the two. And, you know, that's you were one of the first guys that came to mind when I was kind of given the mantle to go nominate people, right? I'm like, oh, I know who I'm going to nominate. It's going to be Charles.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've been taking it serious, you know, and, you know, I've got the tux rented, and of course I've been walking around the studio and say, you know, Master Hall of Famer here, Master Hall of Famer.
There you go.
And somebody pointed out, so it's like, well, what shoes did you rent with your tux? Shoes. I got to wear shoes. I've been practicing walking in shoes, so I don't embarrass you guys, so I look really good, so hopefully.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Now, are you coming solo today, or will you be bringing your family?
Nope, I will be bringing my wife.
Oh, awesome. Awesome, awesome. It'll be a pleasure to meet her. It'll be great. Now, you heard that there's going to be a bunch of seminars, so got to bring some training gear, or at least a uniform.
All right.
At least a uniform, that's right.
Yeah.
So, people, when are you going to be getting into the Masters? Friday or Saturday?
Actually, I'll be coming down Friday.
Very good. Very good. We've got seminars all day on Friday and all day Saturday.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Some pretty impressive folks. Wow.
Very cool. Now, on your website, I'm trolling through your website. I had to click on this, the Fit 45, because it just, like, jumped out at me, right? Can you tell our listeners what the Fit 45 is?
Okay. What it is, it's 45 minutes. We break it up into 15-minute segments. So, like, the first segment is getting you warmed up and, like, reviewing one of the exercises we're going to do. Then it's like a 15-minute workout, and, you know, it's confusion principle. You're never quite sure what the workout is coming up. You know, it could be just static postures you're holding. It could be swinging a kettlebell for 15 minutes. Well, maybe not quite that mean. So 15 minutes, get your heart rate up, lose your breath, and then the last 15 minutes, so we use a lot of yoga-type stretching. You know, now that you're all warmed up, let's stretch you out. You know, originally I created this because, you know, people wanted to come into my workouts, and actually those were closer to 3 hours. So I kept it down where, you know, anybody could come in, anybody can train. You know, you don't have to have, you know, any gold medals from the Olympics to be able to do it.
Very cool.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Very cool.
And funny, a few of my students, you know, to get ready for brown belt training and their test, they come and practice in the Fit 45. So.
That is cool. It, you know, there's my business partner and I were actually thinking about doing something like that, but not necessarily like, you know, a Fit 45, but like running workouts sort of in like a sort of like a, well, she, my business partner calls it rally, and that's something that they, I guess it's a terminology for dog training, where you have to do like a bunch of stuff within a time limit, that kind of thing. And I was researching the benefits of like circuit type of training like that, like a half hour workout, or in your school, a 45 minute workout that covers the whole body in that aspect, as far as not only muscular but also cardiovascular, and of course mental also. I just haven't done it yet. So I was like, yeah, I was like looking at your website, and I'm like, oh, hey, there it is, the Fit 45. That's awesome. Cool.
Well,
now,
you know,
wow, I mean,
to send you some information and some of the workouts, and you can see what we do, and you know,
yeah,
keep
that would
working,
be great.
So.
That would be great. Now, wow, I'm my head is still spinning at all the stuff that you've studied. I mean, let's see. I counted like 13, 15. 16? 16? Something
yeah,
like that?
I've got the list somewhere, and it's actually a lot more than that. You know, I've had seminars on, you know, Arnis and Eskrima, which, you know, I'd love to be able to train that stuff. But to me, that stuff, you know, you got to be hitting that every day, a couple hours. You just need the fine-tuning.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we tried counting it once, and it's just like, even right now I'm teaching 17 different systems, you know, bits and pieces of different systems. When you're a black belt, you start choosing that if you want to master tiger, okay, here's the system, let's go. You want to master crane, here's the system, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Awesome. Very cool. Sifu Bob, do you have any other questions? Or?
No, I did have a comment. Sifu Charles, you know how Sifu Rosita was going through the number of arts that you've trained in, and she had a hard time coming up with the number. You'll have to remember, she's like the last Asian in the United States that needs a calculator.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Where's my rim shot? There we go. There we go. Okay. A little late. I think I'm the only Asian that needs a calculator.
For a small moment like that.
I think Boo Bob had too much quiet time today.
I did. I had to get one in before the show ended.
That's funny. Oh, how about Sifu Olivieri? Do you have any questions for Sifu Charles?
No, it's just amazing to me that he's able to keep all this in his head. I'm like, wow.
And still keep a wife at home.
Yeah.
Well, lucky for me, she helps teach at the school, so we do get some together time and fight in the dojo, so at home it's nice and peaceful.
She has as many stars
very cool.
on her belt as well.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. So I'm a third-degree black belt in Shaolin Kung Fu. She's actually a fourth-degree black belt.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Sansu is pretty tough, yeah.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question was, you know, what styles of Kung Fu do you teach? I bet that's a long list also.
Yeah, it's, you know, from time to time we counter forms, and yeah, that just gets the writing, you know. You know, I have some 220 forms I'm trying to keep up with. And, yeah.
I haven't even done the math.
Wow, that's the cool part of having that many years. I mean, you come across so many different things, and you want to keep this, and you decide if you want to get rid of that. And it's difficult. I put everything on DVD myself. So. I'm not that prehistoric. They call me a dinosaur, but a dinosaur could cause a lot of damage.
Right. Now, Sifu Charles, out of all of these systems that you've studied and are in the quest for mastering, Who would you consider your biggest influences in your journey so far?
Some of them, I'll drop some names here. So there's Paul Keller. He's really instrumental in Shorinru and the weapons training. Eisenru sensei, Mike Winchell. Eisenru was just had a handful of forms. But, you know, he trained us to know each and every move of that form, you know, how to adjust it. So we're real flexible, you know, rather than snapping an elbow, we can turn that into a, you know, shoulder dislocation. So he's pretty big. Some of my other heroes, you know, Musashi's a big one. Of course, Bruce Lee's everybody's big one. I knew of his books because I keep wearing them out. Well, there's probably some of the big ones. There's probably 100 other people I can point fingers at. It's just, you know, I've had a lot of inspiration in my life, a lot of people that keep pushing me, and it's like, hey. And one name I got to drop, Jason Carr out of L.A., he's been really big, helpful, you know, just keeping me on focus with all these forums. And, hey, you forgot a section.
Awesome. Very cool. Now, I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Sifu Olivieri. For all of the young people out there, what would be one thing that you would tell kids that are just getting started in the martial arts? What advice would you give them?
I would tell them to have faith in themselves. I mean, martial arts is very difficult, you know, even for kids. I know some kids get it, you know, they're focused, they're on it. Others, they lack the focus or they lack the stamina. You know, I got some kids that hate push-ups because they can't do them. And it's like, you know, just keep trying. So, you know, have faith that someday all this is going to pay off. And that's probably the hardest thing for them because, you know, a five-year-old has 5 years of learning about faith. So not very much, but, you know, I'm watching them come along. So.
Right on. Very cool. So you hear that, youngsters? Keep chugging along. It kind of goes into the short previous conversation that we had in the first segment about youngsters quitting their training because, oh, it's too hard or it's too boring or it's not going fast enough or anything like that. When a lot of times for kids, and I've noticed the same thing also, is that it is about, you know, I can't. If someone wants to quit, it's because they don't feel like they can. And, you know, and it's Sifus like you, Charles, and Sifu Olivieri that help kids understand that. Because you've got a pretty strong junior kids program, right?
Yeah, the Junior
And they're
Warriors
doing really well. Yeah, that's right,
that's
Junior Warriors.
Some time. You know, it's once my Junior Warriors become brown belts, they become Dragon Warriors, and I've got four of them now. And, you know, first it was very difficult, but they persevered. And, you know, now they're, like, terrifying to all the little kids. I'm like, oh, they're so scary. You know, look at all the push-ups. They never sweat. They never get tired. They're like machines. They were just like you one day. They just stuck with it. So
That's right.
Very handy to have right now.
Yeah. What's that saying, that a black belt is just a white belt that never quit? Is that how
that? Yeah, I love that one.
Something like that? Yeah. Yep. A black belt is just a white belt that never quit. That's awesome. Very cool. Now, how do our listeners get a hold of you if they're ever in the San Jose area?
Oh, well, let's see. There's a few ways. So if you go into our website, ascensionmartialarts.com, there's ways you can email me or email my wife. She came up with this. I'm Yang, she's Yen at Ascension Martial Arts. You know, pretty difficult, but people can get that. There's phone numbers where you can reach us. You know, we always welcome people to come in and watch, come in and train with us. You know, and if there's something, ooh, gosh, I got to have you teach that to everybody, and I'll throw you in front of the class. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that I don't know, and it's like, I just don't have time to learn it, so.
That's for sure. Very cool.
Him and his wife must have some very interesting arguments that end up on the mat.
I'll grapple you for
funny.
It.
No, make me.
I haven't figured that out yet. There's a lot of the people that have been significant others either A, never did martial arts, or did, and we just never saw each other because we were working in different schools. Like, I had my own school, and they had their own school, and it just, or their own classes, and it just never worked. So it was kind of like, oh, interesting. So we that would be interesting to have arguments like that. I'll spar you for it.
Yeah, really?
I'm going to borrow the car. No, you're not. I'll spar you for it. First point gets the car. That's awesome. Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, Sifu Charles, we're going to go ahead and take another soft break. However, you are welcome to stay on the line, so that way we can all, I guess, talk to our next guest, which is going to be Sensei Mario Shap. I hope I'm saying this right. And he's from Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. So I'm going to go ahead and put everyone's mic in the neutral mode. And we're going to be right back after this particular song. It's called Hall of Fame by The Script. We'll be right back after this.
The best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
As the world.
Straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, get the gold. Breaking all the records we thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
This is the Dynamic Dojo radio show with Restita and Robert. For our listeners out there, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We've had two amazing guests so far. We've had Sifu Ramilio Olivieri of Kung Fu Atlanta, and we've had Sifu Charles Shepard of Ascension Martial Arts, who are both still on the line with us, and will be joining in the, I guess we can call it a martial arts party right now because we've got everyone on the line.
Right.
And now I'd like to bring on our next guest. Our next guest is Sensei Mario Schaap of Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Welcome, Sensei. How are you this evening?
I'm very well. It's nice to be online with you guys, and thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. We'd like to start off with our listeners and the rest of us, Sifu Olivieri and Sifu Charles, hearing a little bit about your background. Can you tell us a little bit about your martial arts background?
Sure, I can give it a shot, try to explain some things.
Okay.
It's, you know, I grew up in East Germany, so martial arts was actually something you don't have in every corner, and you see it on, like, TV, which we would watch the old Kung Fu movies, you know, and so I couldn't have martial arts till the wall came down, and suddenly you have a karate school here and there. And age of 23, I was like a bouncer in a club, and I was pretty big, but I couldn't really, you know, do much damage with my fist and my feet. So all my colleagues were much rather skilled. So I kind of got into Shotokan at like in 94, and took that for 2 years, and then left my country to travel. And along the way, you know, met someone who brought me to America, and I started in Tangsudo in 96. Here in San Diego, and I've done that for like 15 years. And, you know, in 2005, I started teaching the blind community martial arts club, you might say, or school, and just messing around for a while, but we got much more serious than like 2008. And that's just around the time when I was introduced to the Gracie family, and we ended up being able to get certified as instructors with the Gracie Academy, and I have been doing Gracie Jiu-Jitsu ever since as my, you know, main job or my main instructional profession. And my passion goes to the karate classes that I teach at the Lion Community Center here in San Diego. So that's in a nutshell my history.
Wow, very cool. Now, the other day, in fact, I think it was yesterday, the days have been blurring so far because I've had like this weird bout of insomnia, and I don't know what day it is ever. The last
week.
You live
at the West Coast.
What's that?
You live at the West Coast. We have insomnia.
Yeah, I think, is it a West Coast thing, Bob? What do you think?
I think it might be.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like some weird comet thing, or how the Earth turns or something, and that hits
the
West
theory.
Coast. Yeah, it's a comet. It's a comet that's keeping Reseda up. Sure, I'll take that. But I saw this video about a gentleman that was teaching an older gentleman Tai Chi, and the gentleman that was being taught was blind, and it was a very inspiring video because the blind gentleman, I forgot his name. Really described, yeah, I should remember. I want to say Dr. Emmett. I remember they're from Israel. So, so both the teacher and the doctor that he was teaching actually were from Israel because they were speaking in Hebrew, if I remember correctly. But he was talking about, you know, how he learns. And so when you said that you taught the blind community, in fact, I think you're the chief instructor at the Blind Community Martial Arts Center in San Diego, correct? How does one who is sighted, you know, because I've always taught people that are in wheelchairs or have movement limitations. I haven't yet taught the blind, and I do want to.
I think we have the same place because you have to do one thing. You have to kind of describe, you know, make a story, give a picture. You are very much hands-on. I suppose when you work with your people with disabilities, you don't just yell from 50 yards away, do this, do that. You kind of go there and take the hands and move them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe so. Most of our martial arts instructors have that kind of ability to hands-on, listen, you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Let me turn your head this way. Allow me, please, to do that. And that's basically what I use. I have, you know, I do have a, fortunately, here's the beauty. I came through the traditional karate system, and many people don't appreciate it. And the truth is, as a fighting art, it's coming up again, but it's not really the modern mixed martial arts, you know, quality, because seriously, we are not putting in consideration distance. Distance and distance management as much as jiu-jitsu does. So I had to take the karate and take the kata that I like. So I take, for example, the Heian kata. You know, I take the beginning kata, which are the Teikyoko Chodan, Iran, and Sandan, and I apply them in a way that there's patterns. So now the students, they just remember patterns. And so, you know, most of the forms start off in one direction. And very important for our teaching is that we understand the clock. So as you look ahead, it's 12 o'clock. If you walk backwards, it's 6. So it's in fighting, it would always stay like that, that, you know, when the student perhaps faces his partner, then that's the 12 o'clock. However, in a kata, you cannot do that. In a kata, you must lay, it's more like a map. You say, listen, this is north, this is south. Those are the movements. And so I would say something like, turn at 4:30, you know, and people turn at 4:30. Lots of hands-on training, very descriptive, lots of storytelling, you know. And, you know, the one thing I appreciate about Kung Fu and, you know, even Kenpo is that the techniques are kind of described as maneuvers, like a bird flexes its wings. So you give it a picture, and I think that's been my best tool, of course. And then the audio cues. I have my finger snapping. I clap my hands. Stuff like that.
Awesome.
Much more, but, cool.
Very cool. Thanks for those little tips. So listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We have a little more than a half an hour to our show. We're talking to Sensei Mario Shop of Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. So if you have any questions about Gracie Jiu-Jitsu or even Tang Sudo or Karate or any style of Kung Fu, please call in because we've got, we still got Sifu Remilio Olivieri with us and Sifu Charles Shepherd with us. So Bob, do you have any questions for Sensei?
Yes, Sensei. Who nominated you for the Hall of Fame this year?
You know, I expected that question, and I was trying to prep myself, and I don't think I'm very successful. So, a few months back, I was actually speaking to my good friend William Ford, and some listeners may not know him, but he's been I don't think he knows himself that he has been an influence on me, because he was part of the Karate Kid crew, one of the Cobra Kai kids, and I didn't know him at that time. But so, a while back, I met him with at Hanshi Marquez, who runs a school in Glendora. He runs a school of hope for kids that have disabilities. So, you know, we would come together, all of us instructors that are not, like-minded, and just talking stuff out, how can we make a change, what can we do? And one of those days, William Ford was invited, and I got to meet him in person. And I was kind of like, well, that's pretty cool. You got Dennis from Karate Kid 3. And so we got to be friends somewhat. And a couple months ago, I called him up and say, listen, why don't we do like a kata seminar for between the blind students and your school? And I would like to take the kata. It's called Goshushiho, which is a very advanced kata. And and he's like, that would be very cool if you do that. And by the way, I'd love to, you know, nominate you for the Hall of Fame and the Masters Hall of Fame. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know about it, really. Just last year, I kind of checked it out. But nothing that I knew. And actually, an accident, I found in my spam folder, I found the email asking me to either accept the nomination or not. And so he is responsible for that, you know, to get nominated. I suppose, I don't even know. I suppose it was him.
Yeah, it was. Our records show that Sensei William Ford nominated you, and you are slated to be inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame with the Humanitarian Award. So, yay, congratulations in advance.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I believe in the beginning, Sifu Olivieri said something about all these various martial arts hall of fames, and you know, and you have any type, just buy it. So, as I found out, my first thought is, look, Mario, you have some sort of responsibility for the people that you represent, which, you know, in my case, I'm a representative for Shinjido International, which is it's kind of like a world organization that, on a smaller scale, we're trying to come together, just forget about the differences and try to just, you know, communicate and see that we can do organize seminars. So my responsibility was towards the founder and the grandmaster, Robert Petrel. And so I asked him, I said, listen, what should I do? I'm not the world's best instructor, so how do I feel about being nominated in the Hall of Fame? And he goes, Mario, it's the humanitarian award that's important, and it's not anything else. So, and you know, that's why I really kindly accepted, and I'm glad I did. You know, that's a pretty awesome achievement for me.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. Let's go to Sifu Olivieri. Sifu, do you have any questions for Sensei Mario?
No, I'm just amazed. I have a student that has sickle cell. So he's blind in one eye, deaf in one ear, and he turned out to be quite the competitor in both fighting and form. And so I'm just impressed that he's impressed with forms and the names and how he teaches. That's just pretty awesome the way he does it.
Well, we'd be more impressed maybe if you talk about including these people into the tournament circuit as in sparring, because that's something we have been successful with. You know, because the one thing is missing, a strong connection. Like, how do you expect a blind person to spar with someone who doesn't know that guy, and then he can just club him to pieces? So we have introduced some sort of way of doing that by establishing connection, very much like Wing Chun, a sticky hand type of, but more like with one hand, and then it kind of starts from there. As soon as they have a connection, and then many things go, you know, and it's very dynamic, very active. And it's pretty much amazing when you see a 70-year-old person that people assume couldn't do much take down their sensei, you know. And I think that's very impressive to me, more than the kata, even.
Yeah, very noble what you're doing as well. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Very cool. Let's go to Sifu Charles. Do you have any questions for Sensei Mario?
Yeah, actually, I do. I was curious. You know, I haven't dealt with any blind people yet. Although now I'm like, oh, I got it. But do you find it easier to teach a blind person versus someone that can see? Or
say again, please.
Do you find it easier to teach somebody who is blind versus somebody who can see?
It's very interesting you bring that up. You must be a very caring instructor, because most people don't see the fact. Let's be honest here. Most sighted people are lazy and have excuses. And we all have to stop up with that. We could paint a nice picture as much as we want. So you hear these excuses like, oh, it's been 20 minutes to drive with my car, and it's just too far for me. Where, look, we have a person that is blind, and all they want to do is change their life and have better life quality. So they take a three-hour bus ride. So I don't have to try to convince them any longer to practice. They already made that step. Now I just have to focus on the technique. Where traditionally you have to inspire them to even take up the exercise, you know, at least in a larger scale. So I find it much easier from that point of starting the exercise. I don't only have blind students. I have, for example, I have an 84-year-old gentleman who just started with me 4 years ago. And he was, to his own account, you know, he was too old to start martial arts. And I said, listen, you're not too old. And he's perfectly healthy, except he's old. So anyone in my class gets treated as if they're blind. So basically my the way I speak, the way I describe the technique, it goes to everyone equally. And in the personal level, I can actually go adjust to the person's needs. Like, I have a lady who's a little bit hard in hearing. You know, I have a lady, she's got balance issues. You know, bear in mind, all my students are 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. So I don't have the performance outlet. So then I can kind of zoom in on what they really need. And you also notice how some people like a different kata better than others. It's very interesting. So I can just recommend everyone try it. put it into your, you know, school, allow people to join, and you will see how much your heart is full of joy just doing that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. In fact, in that video that I saw the other day of the teacher teaching the blind doctor, the teacher himself said, you know, I don't really focus on a person's blindness because in reality, we are all blind in one way or another. And I took that what he said and I went, oh, wow, he's right. And unfortunately, you know, with some people, like you said, Sensei, you know, even when we're sighted, you know, it can make us lazy. And that's kind of where our blindness can come in. And that's why, you know, I really want to delve a little bit more into teaching the visually challenged as well as the movement limited people.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you said, it is a joy. You know,
the challenges you get, basically, you put yourself out there as an instructor and you ask yourself, okay, where's my challenge? You know,
mm-hmm.
every day pass, and you have to convince yourself, I'm making a difference. I mean, we know that. We're making a difference one by one. But then at some point, 10 years down the road, you go, okay, but where's the challenge? And now you start
mm-hmm.
working with people and just generally disabilities. I think the style of teaching that I do, I can teach anyone pretty much in the same way, and I just make adjustments here and there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this is an incredible experience that you can gain, and even from the perspective of business, you know, you can make actually some business doing that, if you will. There's
mm-hmm.
some great models out there. Hanshi Marquez, School of Hope, he's running, I think he's got like 75 to 100 people with disabilities, and he's teaching them twice, three times a week, and these guys are amazing. So I have to learn so much more.
mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Very
incredible,
cool.
Yeah.
Incredible. Bob, back to you. Do you have any other questions?
So since are you coming alone to the event, or are you bringing family with you?
I bring my wife. You know, someone has to keep me in line. Otherwise,
the man.
No, as a matter of fact, she has to go.
Now, you're so close to the event, being in San Diego, and the event's in Costa Mesa. Are you coming up Friday, or you coming up Saturday?
I wish I could. I do run the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu School in Solana Beach in San Diego, and I also have my classes in the morning at the Blind Community Center. And nowadays, you know, I'm now at the place where I can have some of my senior students start teaching, but there's still
mm-hmm.
a little bit of confidence missing, especially right now we're going into a tournament season, so these guys have to learn their kata, and then now we do the fight simulation type of sparring that we usually do. So anytime I'm not there, I missed. And also we have the July California State Games are coming up. I don't know if
right.
anyone knows about that. So
oh, yeah.
we are representing with the Adaptive Division, which is run by Hanshi Marquez. And we went there last year, and we know what's at stake. It's really important that we show and give our support so that we have visibility that perhaps eventually, you know, we have the national state games or whatnot. So it's our mission. So I'd like to be there in the morning, and then I come up in the afternoon to be there 5-ish or something. I don't know. But I'll be there with my wife in full.
Cool. Sounds like a busy day for you that day.
always. It's San Diego. We are, after all, busy people.
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah, I mean, living up in Seattle in that area is not just like, you're probably busy all day long, I suppose.
Yeah. It's weird, you know, a lot of, there's kind of like a joke that kind of goes around, you know, that Seattle is all about being green and socks and sandals, which is true. And all we do is like we're out in nature and stuff like that. But because of the and it's weird because you'd think that even though Microsoft and, you know, Amazon and Starbucks and stuff like that, even though they're completely non-related to martial arts, it just makes it busy just even doing martial arts because I have to drive around in it. drive around in that.
Hey, and it's not an easy task in Seattle. You're definitely right. Especially while the bridge went down or something. I don't want to be in your place right now.
Who is in the world, because all we did for 2.5 years was ball.
Yeah, when that bridge went down, it made it. It's actually taken traffic, and because like Seattle's only it's maybe about an hour and 15 minutes away from the Skagit Bridge where it went down, but the traffic is affected down here.
Yeah,
not in a straight shot. I mean, there's like little breaks and stuff, but because of that, it does affect us over here. And. And it goes all the way out to Tacoma, the traffic, and that's like way south and way north. That's like almost I forget how many miles it is from the Skagit River to
28
Tacoma.
28 miles each way.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's pretty busy out here. But that's why I'm actually going into California a couple of days early, so that way I don't want to feel like I just got off a plane to do an event, right?
Well, you can't skip on having a little bit, a couple of days of fun in Los Angeles. I mean, there's nothing really like it, perhaps. But there's some fun places to go to, I think, and to unwind.
Yeah. Now, how far is San Diego from Costa Mesa?
You know, I'm probably just about an hour or something.
Oh,
you know, depends
that's
how slow I drive. No, I can just see. Once a week, I drive up to the Gracie Academy in Torrance to train with the founder of the UFC and his sons, Hannah and Huron Gracie. And so it's like, I don't know, an hour and a half. And then people say, well, why do you do that? It's too far driving. I say, listen, I get like 2 hours of training with these guys. It's worth everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't. The driving, right. So you know, coming to an event like that for an hour driving, it's like you asking me to pick up the coffee at Starbucks. I will do that.
Awesome, very cool. Yeah, what you just mentioned, why do you, when people ask, why do you do that? Why would you drive an hour and a half or 2 hours to learn? Why not do something right here in your backyard? I think that's somewhat universal, especially from people that don't study. But I do know that people that do study martial arts, if it's within their means to get there, they'll get there. And it's never a question.
No.
Me personally, I just wish that, the non-martial artists kind of understood that, I wanted to ask someone, well, why would you drive 2 hours to go to a steampunk convention?
That's a good question to ask.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Why not?
Dang. I did not expect that.
It's like, why, the same reason, right? I mean, it's something that interests them and it's their passion.
Correct.
And they're going to drive 2 hours to get to a steampunk convention or get on a plane to do it.
Right.
And then
absolutely.
They ask me, why do you drive an hour and a half to get to your classes? It's like, well, because I want to learn.
Yeah, but the question should be is why don't they?
Exactly.
Well, it's all about balance. I think as much as ought to be, a devoted martial artist, there has to be lazy people to keep the balance. It's all about balance. You can't tell me that you believe in yin and yang and you don't believe in the distribution of lazy people versus the people that are interested in learning these things.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, it's the truth. I mean, you don't want to hide it.
It is.
It's the truth. Like, come on. It's like, I actually want people to be lazy. The only reason we are being nominated into a Hall of Fame is because there's a bunch of people that don't know what that is, quite technically, because if all martial artists who would be, acquainted with Halls of Fame, it wouldn't be any special no more. So these things only exist because it is special and people recognize it as such.
Right.
No.
Very,
that's kind
very,
of how I look at it.
Very cool. Now, I just want to recap for our listeners the categories that our ambassadors had nominated you three on. So Sensei Mario has been slated to be inducted into the Hall of Fame with the Humanitarian Award. with the nominating ambassador being Sensei William Ford. And for Sifu Charles, you're slated to be inducted into the Hall of Fame under the Outstanding Contributions to Martial Arts Award, nominated by yours truly. And Sifu Olivieri, you are slated to be inducted under the Life Achievement Award. And for some reason, I have your ambassador listed as Shihan Robert Kozlensny, and I think that's incorrect. Isn't that Eddie Morales?
Well, Eddie Morales did old school, and both, they know each other, and they both fought me. I'm still in shock, so.
Got it. Okay. Now, did somebody have their computer on?
No.
Because we're getting a lot of feedback. Yeah, I can't even. You guys hear that? Because I can hear myself. And it's hard to talk.
Well, I think that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Really, make it a monologue. Really,
there we go.
It's about you doing your, you know, your duty and talk to the people, and so that's all we need.
Well, I'm gonna have Sensei Mario talk just a little bit more, because I've asked this question to Sifu Charles and Sifu Emilio. Now, for the kids out there, this echo is pretty bad. Sifu Bob, do you hear that? Sifu Bob?
Now I am muted. Yes, I do hear that. You're echoing really bad.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, the movie Poltergeist.
They're back.
I'm going to try something really quick with my mic. Maybe it's my mic. Hold on a sec. I'm excited. I wonder if that'll work.
Nope. It's not okay to burn with the light, actually.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just freak out the listeners. But so, Sensei Mario, I asked this question to Charles and Sifu Ramilson. For all the youngsters out there, what advice do you give them when they start studying art? Be it jiu-jitsu, be it karate, kung fu, what?
Just tell me first if you can hear me clearly.
We can hear you. I think it's only
okay. See, then that's all I need. I can just talk, and then everyone
okay,
can hear
yeah.
me. That's fine.
Okay.
You see, the funny thing is, you asked the question before, and I asked myself, Mario, if any youngsters listening to this radio show, they're already on the path. I don't have to speak to them any longer. I think we need to talk to the parents, and the parents are those who are probably listening, and. You know, and I just say, yes, put your kids in some martial arts program and put them into, like, you know, bully-proof, anti-bullying type of program so that they can change the character then in the future help others. It doesn't matter where they go. Taekwondo, karate, kung fu, it's all good enough. It's helping their development. And then the last thing, of course, share. Don't hold it in for yourself. Share it with the world. Be generous to people that can't afford martial arts lessons, you know, you don't have to do what I do. You don't have to go crazy. You know, I go all out to establish a full new school for these people, but some people just invite people with disabilities into their school. I'd say share. Make people happy and laugh at life. Dream big. Yes. Go for it.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Awesome. Now, any of you guys have any other questions? Is my mic working?
I hear you well. I have no questions.
Okay. Let's see.
We've got a caller from.
Yeah, we have a caller from area code 804. 804. Go ahead. You're on Dynamic Dojo.
Hello.
Who's
Who's calling?
This is the Martial Arts thing.
Yeah, this is Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio.
Did you see Emilio go yet?
Yeah, he's right here.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing all right. This is Marcus. How are you?
Okay, now who's this?
Marcus Lennon.
Oh, Mark Lennon. From Lynchburg.
Well, actually, I'm from Richmond, but yeah, that's where it is. From the tournament.
How's it going, sir?
I figured I'd call in and say that, thank you for definitely being a helpful inspiration for me in martial arts.
Oops, is my mic working? Can everyone hear Mark over there?
I heard him. I hear a repetition.
Yeah, so do I. I have no idea what's going on with this. Because I'm finding it hard because I'm hearing myself and everyone that talks is going to have second delay. It must be a Blog Talk Radio service, but this has never happened to me. I've heard it happen to everybody else. What's that?
I said, do you hear repetition when I speak?
So far, Emilio, there's a half second delay with Bob, there's a half second delay, but not with Sensei Mario. Do you guys hear that too?
I'm here. Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. Well, it appears this must be a server problem, like all the other shows that are on. So, with that in mind, I think it'll probably be best to end the show. I mean, if the show ends anyway.
That sounds good.
I'm going to speak a little slower so that way people can actually understand me. I feel like I'm talking in tight. I'd like to thank Mario and Super Remote for joining me and Bob on this wonderful show. Sorry that the sound quality is hot. And I do want to apologize for our sound quality. Couldn't be any better, but it's impossible to understand each other at the moment with a server problem. And I just checked my computer, or is it my headset? So I'm gonna blame it on Blog Talk.
That's the only way to go, the American way. Don't take the blame for yourself. Just push it off.
Well, the funny thing is, you're the only person that's not echoing.
I sound okay, you're saying?
Yeah, you're the only person that's not echoing.
You're the only one that's not echoing.
Well, because the forces are with me, gentlemen. I'm sorry to say, I'm the last one, and I got all the forces.
There you go. The weird thing also is that our caller is so short, it says that it dropped, but his call is still on my board. So this is your blog talk for you. So we're going to go ahead and end the show. Thank you so much, Mario, and thank you all of you three, and of course, thank you, Bob, for the host. We look forward to meeting all three of you at the Masters Hall of Fame event. It's going to be a great event.
Okay, I mean, that was great to be online, and thank you for your efforts to bring us together.
Awesome. Thank you for joining. All right. So enjoy the next week, everybody. Stay tuned to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page for news about our next upcoming guest. So thank you, C.P. Charles, and thank you,
Bob.
Thanks, Bob.